Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 97 with Johnny Corson. So this is the unedited version of my interview with Johnny Corson. Johnny is on active duty. He talks about starting his company, Blue Jacketeer, while on active duty, and advice for other veterans looking to do the same. I'm trying out a new interview format where I consolidate the interview, add a couple different interludes to make it a little bit easier to follow and a lot more succinct. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find that edited version, and I'd love your feedback on which of the two you like more. However, if you'd like the full version, you've come to the right spot, because this is going to be the completely unedited, complete with, I believe my phone rings at some point during the interview, which is just rookie move number one. In this interview, I think you'll learn a lot about Johnny's company, Blue Jacketeer, how they're helping Navy sailors prepare for advancement exams, but also about steps you can take on active duty or once you transition to help you find the ideal co-founder, start your company, and make sure the idea is a good one. So let's dive in to my unedited interview with Johnny Corson. Well, joining me today in Beaufort, South Carolina is Johnny Corson. Johnny, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin.
So, Johnny, just to start things off, if you could introduce yourself for listeners, who you are and what you're up to.
Absolutely. My name is Johnny Corson. I'm currently stationed in Beaufort, South Carolina. I'm active duty. I have just under 10 years in the United States Navy. But I'll be separating soon and transitioning to a business that I started.
Awesome. And, you know, I'm wondering, we'll talk in a little bit about Blue Jacketeer, but I'm wondering, is that the first startup you've played around with, or what has been your road to entrepreneurship?
It was about 4 years ago. I was considering transitioning out of the military, but it was really only about 6 months before I was due to separate, and I had another business idea. I created an app for children to study their academic skills, math and literacy and things like that. And so what really kind of made my decision a much easier to reenlist was coming to grips with the reality that this business was not going to support me immediately, and that I needed to spend some time getting that off the ground and letting that support me at the same time before I made the decision to completely cut ties with the Navy.
That's great. And I'm wondering, what has it been like? Actually, let's start with Blue Jacketeer. How would you describe Blue Jacketeer and what you do?
Well, what we do is we provide exam prep software available online via a subscription for the Navy Advancement Exam or Promotion Exam.
And how did this idea first start?
Well, it first started with my business partner, Alan, many years ago, who started to work on the design elements, the interface, the back end, the database, and he really worked out all the kinks over the first 18 months, and even started working on an app that would synchronize with the website at the same time back then too.
And so you've been working on how long has this been going now?
Well, the concept itself has been going for about 4 years, but the actual company that we own is called Patriot Labs, and the product is Blue Jacketeer. So Patriot Labs has been in business for just over a year.
That's awesome. And I guess what have been some of the, well, first of all, for listeners who are on active duty, who would like to start a company while on active duty, what advice do you have for them? I'm sure you've learned a lot over the last 4 years. What would you want them to know about starting a job, a company, while also having a full-time job in the military?
You know, Justin, I would say first, pitch that around with your friends, you know, while you're just sitting around a table drinking some tasty adult beverages or something. Just try to get that idea in front of people who love you and who are willing to tell you exactly what you need to hear. Not a bunch of yes men. Certainly don't talk to those people or try to glean their support if you know that they're just going to support you in whatever you do, like your parents sometimes. But my first advice would be to reach out to those closest to you and pitch that around. And once you have that idea, you feel like it's validated with maybe even a customer that you feel like you'd have to reach out to later. Then at that point, I'd say take a step forward and reach out to some of these resources that are available for military entrepreneurs. And I'll throw one out there that I thought was my favorite, and it's called Bunker in a Box. And it's run by a nonprofit that has what they call bunkers throughout America. And they're actual brick and mortar places you can go, collaboration spaces, and they have meetups and musters and, you know, that kind of event. But then they also have this online. So no matter where you find yourself, you can plug into this resource, Bunker in a Box. And it's really geared for that sailor, that soldier, that Marine who's maybe overseas at the time, who wants to start developing his entrepreneurial skills. And it's a 14-module course. You go through an extensive course on entrepreneurship from start to finish, and then even some of the facets that may not apply to you now but will later. And in the end, you score points, you get badges, you progress, and once you're done, you get an email that says congratulations and a little bit of support and maybe even the address to the nearest bunker so you can take the next step.
That's awesome. And for listeners, I'll put a link in the show notes for Bunker in a Box so you can find that. While we're on that topic, what other resources, it could be books or courses or advice, what other resources have helped you in your own entrepreneurial journey?
Well, me personally, I feel like the Inc. 5000 Military Entrepreneurship Program was really what kickstarted my own networking opportunities. I had heard of LinkedIn. I'd been on LinkedIn, but that was really my first experience shaking the hand of someone who could propel my business beyond my even measure of success. And so Inc. 5000, they have a military entrepreneurship program that's run by a lady named Natalie Thomas. She is wonderful. She is a huge supporter of the military and of events in general. So that's really helped me. There's a book called $100 Startup by Chris Gaibo. And I think that would be most helpful to those individuals who are not quite sure about, you know, this big master plan of starting a business, but they have this idea or they have this skill that they want to turn into maybe some passive income on the weekends or something like that. That's a good way of starting while you're active duty. And then I would say lastly on a list of resources that have helped me, I heard, I think it was Justine mentioned, you know, one of your previous podcasters mentioned Veterati. And I plugged into Veterati about 3 months ago after I'd already started the business. And here I am transitioning out of the military thinking, you know, let me just reach out and see if there's someone on there that may kind of really fit my niche as a mentor. And I was surprised at the matches that I got and the response that I got when I met my first few mentors.
That's great. And I had a question on, I haven't actually heard about the Inc. 5000 Military Entrepreneurship Program. Could you describe that for listeners of kind of how they get involved with that and what the benefits of it are?
Absolutely. So Inc. is a magazine, and one of their publications every year lists the 5000 and the 500 fastest growing companies in America. There are a few wickets that you need to hit. First and foremost, $1 million in revenue. And then after that, it's mostly based on your growth over a period of time. So these are very successful and currently successful businesses that make this list. And the Military Entrepreneurship Program is a cooperation between the, I believe it's McNeese Thomas Group, who's an event coordinator. I mentioned Natalie Thomas. And they have partnered with Inc. to allow 20, and sometimes a few more, 20 members of the military or veteran or spouse network to attend that event, and then have a special series of maybe keynote speakers or lunch and learns just for the military group to really just add value to whatever their product or project is at the time. And so I went back in 2014, I think it was November, and my experience was I think as good as it can get, because I went as an active duty. I took leave and said, hey, you know, I asked my command, I told them what I was doing, they kind of looked at me funny. I went to, it was Phoenix, Arizona. I'd never been there before. I knew nobody there. But I went there with a mission in mind, and that was to increase my capacity to run my business. And to do that, you know, step one was to learn. So I really had to reach out. And then, you know, step two at that point was to meet some people that maybe could just give me a nugget of wisdom that I could use maybe later on. So I had a notepad. I scratched out every, you know, encounter that I had. I scratched down notes and names and people. And I think personally, because I went into it with the intent of growing my business, not just as a social event or an opportunity to kind of, you know, rub elbows with other successful people, I think that really changed my experience there.
You know, it's that really resonates. I think that there's so much value to just having a clear intention when you go into something. And one of the things, I mean, obviously at the Inc. 5000, at this event, I imagine you get so much more. You extract so much more value because you have a clear idea you're applying this to, and you have really tangible goals that you wanted to achieve. You want to meet people who are going to help your business. And I love that, because I imagine that applies to starting a company in the military as well, where you're just forced to try and learn as much as possible as you're going. You're forced, like every event like that that you attend, you're trying to like apply it to how you could grow a business. And I think that's just such a great way to learn anything, of just having something tangible to apply it to. So I really just applaud you on having, you know, started this on the side and really taken every opportunity to try and grow it as you move forward.
Absolutely.
How are things, how are things with Blue Jackets here? Like, where are you guys at? What are some of the optics?
Well, we're definitely growing. We are still young in our phase of growth. So our goal is to reach as many of the sailors as possible. And that really takes time, and that takes some, like you said, learning how to run a business. So we've started to reach out to some business mentors through the Veterati network and other networks to help establish some of the groundwork that will really allow us to operate our business in the most successful way, but then also in the most honest way that we can for our customers, so that eventually they're getting not just the product that they purchased, but services and support and community, and then we could give back as well.
So how does this work? So if I'm, let's say I'm a sailor right now and I'm preparing for an upcoming advancement exam, when I sign up for a subscription, you talked about service and community. I'm imagining there's like, is it like training modules? And I think on your site you talk about like a flashcard type approach. Take us through what it's like for someone who signs up.
When they sign up, the sailor is really just looking for a resource that supports their current study strategy, and whatever that may be. And so we always suggest that a sailor actually get their bibliography, get the instructions that are on there, do some reading themselves, maybe highlight that themselves as well. But for those that want to practice their skills or hone in on that one or two subjects that they know they're going to have an issue with moving forward, then we invite them to answer questions on our website. And currently what we have is spaced repetition software and a database of thousands of questions related to every test. And the spaced repetition software really helps to dwindle that stack. You said flashcards, and you can imagine if I had a stack of 4,000 flashcards, and using spaced repetition after a long period of time, even short amounts of time per day, but over the course of a month or two, I'm down to the maybe 200 or 300 flashcards that I have the most struggle answering. And that's really where our product helps sailors succeed, is that they're not answering questions over and over and over. If they get them right, if they've proven that knowledge successfully, then they won't see that question again.
What advice do you have for people about figuring out the right price point? I'm just wondering, because you set up a subscription model, I'm wondering how you figured out, you know, what to charge people to really be, both benefit the sailor, but also give you a viable business.
That's really hard, Justin. And the hard thing about that is that we spend a lot of time and energy and money generating this content. And so on one end, if we didn't charge a certain amount, then we would go out of business. Then we would be forced out of business because we aren't operating at a level that's sustainable, or maybe even at a level that allows us to grow into the rates that are hardest to reach because they're smaller. So we really have to balance our initiatives to grow, and then also our respect for the sailor. And that really comes from one of our taglines on our website. This is for sailors, by sailors. And so I'm active duty. I know the financial limitations of an E3 going up for E4, and I want to bring that to a point where we talk about value proposition. And so that's how I approach the price point, is that if a user spends a certain amount of money and they use the site correctly and it increases their chances at advancing, even if it takes a cycle or two, their immediate response is an extra, sometimes $200 in their paycheck every month. So it's really an investment in your future, but not just in money, but also in time. So the current price point that we have is for our general service of in rate, and then also the primary military knowledge, is $19.99 a month. And then we offer a 6-month discount. And really moving forward, what we'd like to do is, like I said, just start adding to that service. So we might not change our price point ever again, but you'll start to get more out of this. It won't just be advancement exam, but when you go up for qualifications or when you're up for a warfare device, that we could provide a place where you already know and trust us, and you can come back and study for that as well.
And how have you thought about growing your team? Are most of them active duty as well, or how have you gone about adding to the team?
Well, we have business owners, and then we have right now a series of writers. And our writers have fluctuated over time. Really, some have come and gone, mostly because once we get the question database set, there's not a lot of work we have for our writers. We have, I'd say right now, about 75% of them are active duty and 25% are recently retired. And we hire based on qualifications and their ability to write to an exam. And so if you think about it, even those junior sailors that take the exam might have an ability to glean the type of information that we need for them to regurgitate once they start writing for the exam. But if you look at how the Navy does it, the Navy has chief petty officers write the exam. So it's really important for us to get people in the same pay grade, in the same mindset and exposure to the primary military knowledge, and then also the in-rate knowledge. And that really helps us balance out our question database.
And how do you get the word out to other people about Blue Jacketeer?
Well, right now we use mostly Facebook, and I'll be honest, I think most of our growth is due to word of mouth. And that's because when a sailor uses our website and he's impressed by maybe the user interface or the way that the questions kind of start to fall off once you start getting successful at answering the questions. Or maybe they have used our site over a period of time and then they advanced. And when another sailor comes up to them and says, "Hey, you know, I know you've been struggling to get at this test score, and obviously it worked for you. What did you do?" And you know, that right there is the best piece of validation for us, when a sailor can say, "You know what, I used Blue Jacketeer," and then that two or three sailors listening can turn around and, you know, they'll probably Google, you know, something similar to Blue Jacketeer.
Oops, sorry, I was on mute. What about, I'm wondering for, because I imagine some of the people that want to use this tool are away at sea and don't have access to wireless internet. Is there like a way for them to access this when they're out at sea?
Absolutely, Justin. In fact, our website works on Navy computers as well. So if you do have a computer in your space, or there's a library on your ship, or, you know, you're out in the desert somewhere, you know, you do have some access to a computer. And we have seen, we've heard, and we've gotten some feedback that really works for sailors to spend that time in the library or something similar dedicated to study. But also, we're working on an application that, like I said, will sync to the website, your progress. And at some point, you'll be able to take that offline. You'll be able to, I don't know, push a button or whatever mechanism our tech team figures out. You'll be able to take that offline and use that study material for a period of time before you can link it back to your website and synchronize your progress with both your app and the website login.
And what's been the most challenging aspect of starting and growing a company while on active duty?
Well, I would say in terms of being active duty, there's a time commitment that is absolutely necessary. And I think when some people think that when starting a business that you have to somehow push aside something else or you know, spend more time in one area or the other, I really think that compartmentalization is key to how I've been able to progress through having a business before and then moving to a deployment and then coming back from that deployment and getting things started with Alan.
That's so hard for me. I mean, running a company right now, I'm just imagining, how do you handle that when you're away? Is it kind of like a passing of a baton with Alan where he is a partner, keeps things going, and then you're caught back up to speed? Like, how do you keep that momentum going?
Well, I haven't been deployed since we started Blue Jacketeer, but I have moved my family across the country, and Alan's moved houses. We also have another business partner who manages mostly the writers. So a lot of what we do can be thrown up in a chat room and dialogue occurs, and then, you know, I can have my actionable items and step aside and do my portion, my swim lane, and then Alan can do his, and then our other business partner can do his. So if there's a time where I need to step away, then I can just, you know, let my partners know that this time I will be unavailable, and they'll pick up the slack for a period of time. And we've done that for each other, you know, over the months that we've been in business.
Do you have advice for anyone on active duty or veterans on how do you find that right co-founder and how do you make that relationship work? You talked about Alan and one other co-founder. What are some tips that you would have on things for them to keep in mind as they look for that person and as they forge that relationship with them?
Well, I would say the most important thing to do is understand your weakness. And I started a tech business, an app for kids. And I realized pretty quickly that I'm not a technical genius. You know, I had another team actually do the coding and development of the app. I designed most of it but based on some experiences I've had with apps and some research I did. So I knew that my limitation was the technology side. And so when I found Alan online, I just reached out. And that's another thing that's important for especially active duty, is that when you see an opportunity, when you meet someone, you really need to take that step in faith and reach your hand out, shake someone's hand, you know, say, hey, this is me. I've got this going on. You know, is there a way that maybe we could help each other out? And then really start to develop the relationship from there. I would say many times there are opportunities that sailors and other service members have where maybe a person's rank or maybe their ability to separate themselves from active duty for a period of time really gets in the way of future success.
And what would you I'd love to dive in on that. I think that's such a valid point. Like what would you say to them for these people that kind of let that stand in the way of them pursuing entrepreneurship or pursuing anything?
Especially for those who are transitioning, I think it's important for a person to almost disregard, especially junior sailors or junior enlisted and junior officers, almost disregard your previous rank. Because moving forward, you were a civilian, you were Johnny Corson civilian. And I am limited only by my potential and by the unique experiences that I've had. So if I am able to switch that mind, even while I'm active duty for a period of time, understanding that eventually I will operate in an environment with, you know, other veterans of various rank structures or whatever, it's absolutely important to be able to say that these are my limitations, like I mentioned, and this is what I think I'm really good at, no matter what I was doing in the military. It might not even be close to what your job was.
That's great advice. And you mentioned that you found Alan online. What site did you use, or what site would you recommend for people finding a co-founder?
Well, I found him on his website. I was doing some market research for the market that I'm in now, understanding who the players were in providing exam prep material to sailors. And he was currently operating the website. I just reached out. I sent the general support at bluejacketeer.com a message and said, hey, this is who I am. And, you know, I'd just like to start a dialogue or get to talking, and maybe there's some way that I can help you out. So I would say also, you know, if that strategy doesn't work, there are networks out there, whether they're on Facebook or LinkedIn or other websites, that you can just put yourself out there and, you know, you create a profile. This is who I am, and maybe let others come to you. But really, like I mentioned before, you sometimes have to just take that step of faith and send an email and say, this is who I am.
How long was it until you sent that kind of support request until you guys actually started working together? I'm just curious what that relationship building was like.
It was a couple weeks, I think. You know, we kind of vetted each other maybe. We linked up on Facebook, and it took a while for Alan to invite me into the website itself and see the back end and understand, you know, the inner structure of the website. But I was providing just general guidance or even as a sounding board for ideas that he had. And I just found that I was thinking about his business more than I was thinking about my current business at the time. And that's really when I knew that I should probably, you know, decide whether I'm going to fully commit to the children's game app or try to support something that Alan had that was just so tremendous in its potential that that's when I made the decision. That was about 6 weeks maybe or longer.
That's great. It's, you know, I just love the way that organically grew and how it all started because you took a risk, you took that initiative to reach out, and it sounds like you were just, you know, genuinely interested and genuinely trying to help. And over the course of, you know, a month or so, that led to being able to forge a partnership that might not have been available if you weren't willing to just kind of get to know each other and try to find ways to add value for him.
Absolutely. And one interesting tidbit is that of the three partners that own the business, we've never met each other. Mm. I've never shaken Alan's hand or other business partner. So we've operated, I think, successfully based on an extreme amount of trust. And then on the other side, we have shared values. We all sincerely just want to see sailors succeed in their own careers, but then also increase their capacity for whatever their occupation is and just become better at that in general.
Are both of your partners on active duty?
Right now, I'm the only one on active duty.
Okay. And what's ahead for Blue Jacketeer? Like, what do you and for yourself as you think of transitioning in the near future?
Well, I think that I just ran my last PRT, my last physical test yesterday, and I'm starting to work on my end of tour evaluations and things like that. So it's really sinking in that my time in the military is coming to a close. But what's nice about the market that I'm in is that I'll kind of always have that lingo and I'll be connected to people who are active duty based on my responsibilities in developing the business. So I won't lose completely the camaraderie that I've gained and come to enjoy in the military, but it's really settling in that I'm not going to be a sailor. You know, I will have been prior sailor, veteran, you know. So moving forward, I'll move to Denver, Colorado with my family, and I'll have a little home office upstairs while the kids are homeschooled in the basement, and we'll try to make it work as civilians for a couple years and hopefully, you know, decide that maybe Denver's the place we settle. But, you know, like the military, you know, after 3 years, you kind of get a little restless and expecting someone to tell you where to move. As a civilian, you got to make that decision yourself.
That's awesome. And do you see Blue Jacketeer expanding beyond just the Navy into the other branches?
No, I don't think so, Justin. And I think the reason we won't, at least in the immediate term, is that we have so much to offer sailors and there's room for us to grow. And so until we get to a point where we've saturated the market, we've increased all of the services that we think we could add to a subscription while also still remaining viable, we might look at other similar businesses and see where we can compete, maybe even where our sailors are moving to. Because, you know, when sailors transition, some of the hardest things for a sailor to do is to grab those qualifications or specifically exams that they prep for when they separate. And so if they already trust us, maybe we move into peripheral exams or qualifications that they need when they separate.
This is awesome. Well, I always like to leave the last question open-ended, which is, you know, we talked about a lot of the questions I had, but what else would you want listeners to know? I'd love to just give you the floor to share any final words of wisdom.
Well, most recently, we've all kind of come to this point where we realized that we are cooperating and collaborating with people significantly more qualified than us in certain areas. We have a marketing team that adds value. We have these mentors that have been successful in their business to add value. And so we have seen a lot of growth in our personal lives as well, just gleaning this information from these people. And it's like Jim Rohn said, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So if the three of us just spent time with the three of us at all times and never brought in those really intelligent and successful people, then we might run the risk of just becoming stagnant. And the other thing is that, you know, in the military, we are told this is what you need to do. You turn around, you tell your subordinates, this is how we're going to do it, you know, and life moves on. But as an entrepreneur, it's all left to us. And we have to decide, you know, whether we're going to take one road or the other. And success very much depends on how we handle those situations. So in the absence of direct orders, we as a team, we still need to move forward and become successful as a business and as people in general.
This is great. Well, Johnny, I appreciate your time and advice on this. For listeners, everything we discussed will be in our show notes at beyonduniform.io. All the resources that Johnny mentioned, and also a link to his site, Blue Jacketeer. Johnny, thanks for the advice, and good luck with the transition.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.